Isaiah chapter 43 and the verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I will do a new thing. With the word of God open before us, let's just still our hearts in a word of prayer as we come to his word for today. Our Father and our God in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy presence with us. Thank thee, Lord, for help given as we have sung these hymns together. And O God, we pray that as we come now to thy precious word, we ask, O God, that you'll make the living word of God live in all of our hearts by faith. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will take thy word and apply it to each and to every heart. We pray, O God, that you'll encourage us. We ask, O God, that you'll challenge us out of the word of God today. Our Father, we pray that you'll come and speak to every heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Oh, God, we pray that you'll just move amongst us now. Come upon us. May the Spirit of God fall upon us. May we have that gracious and powerful sense that God is here. God is working. God is speaking. To this end, Lord, therefore help us to rightly divide the Scriptures. Help us, O God, to hear what God the Lord would say to us. Lord, pray that you'll help us all, through it all, to glorify and to magnify thy name. Hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. As we start out in a new year, a new chapter in the history of our congregation in Sandown, God has burned the words of verse 19 very definitely into my heart as a motto text for 2015. As we go forward as a church, as a congregation, in this new year that lies before us, I believe we can do this with unprecedented assurance and confidence, and indeed with great expectation of what God is going to do for us in this year ahead. It is my earnest conviction that God has great things in store for us in 2015. Now, no doubt there will be times of hardship, and no doubt there will be times of trouble. Of that we can be sure. But it is my desire and my prayer, and something that I know I share with many, that 2015 will be a year of new blessings. It'll be a year of the outpouring of God's Spirit upon us in a way that we have not known or experienced before. A year of new things. A year of seeing new families coming and joining with us. A year of seeing God's people being revived and stirred up in our hearts. A year when the spirit of weariness and worldliness is replaced with a spirit of work and prayerfulness amongst us all as God's people. A year of seeing souls being saved. A year of experiencing the move of God in revival in our own hearts individually and personally. A year when the ordinary will be replaced with the extraordinary. A year of the supernatural with God. Can God do this for us? Can God change our own lives? Can God motivate, energize, and revive our hearts? Can God bring the new people into this congregation? Can God fill up the empty pews, especially on a Sunday evening? Can God fill this place on a Thursday night with people praying and pouring out their hearts unto God? Can God do this? What we ask for, we believe our God is able to do. And I'm glad today that our faith, our trust, our dependence in 2015 is in the God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We can never ask too much of our God. We can never bring too large a petition to God in prayer. And in 2015, let's not limit the power of God by our own feeble faith. Let's not limit the blessing of God in our lives, in our church, and in our community. Thank God today He is the God of the new thing. He's the God of the new start, the God of the new beginning, the new chapter. And it's this truth, that the Lord is seeking to get into the thoughts and into the hearts of the people to whom has been written to hear. But I believe as well it's this thought that God is wanting to get into our hearts, get into our minds in this year that lies before us. As we look at verse 19 and a few of the other verses around it, and as we consider the subject before us today of God's new thing, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the confidence it provokes. The confidence it provokes. Notice who the speaker here is in this verse. It's not the prophet. It's the Lord Himself who says, I will do a new thing. And folks, today, don't believe that this year will be a year of new blessings, a year of a new move of God because this preacher says it. Believe it rather because the Lord, the all-powerful God of heaven and earth, has said it. God has said, I will do a new thing. What a promise that is for us in the year ahead. What a message that is for us as we venture into 2015. And what confidence it ought to inspire and provoke within our hearts. What hope it ought to bring to us. What high expectations we must have, therefore, because of this very clear and this very direct promise from God. We have confidence in the person of God. You see, in this promise from God for 2015, there is no element of doubt. There's no element of uncertainty. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. The language there is very emphatic. It's the language of conviction that what has been said will be done. You see, these words, these promises, they're not the words of man. Man changes. Man changes in his views. Man changes in his outlook. What he says at one time, he may well have to change his word, but when it comes to every word of God, there's no change. There's no taking back all of those words. There's no alteration of the words that the Lord gives. Why? Because every word of God is true. The very nature of who God is truth. God is the embodiment of all truth, because as the supreme and sovereign Lord over all, because of the one who has ordered and commanded all things, he can with absolute certainty and with absolute truth, his word can be taken as truth. His every promise can be held onto as truth because they're all true. No element of doubt in anything that the Lord says or speaks. What gives me confidence for the future? What gives me hope about the future? What fills my heart, and I hope yours as well, with great enthusiasm and great expectation as we step out in this new year as a congregation, is that this promise, it's the Word of God, that this promise is from the Lord Himself, He whose Word cannot be altered, He whose Word cannot be changed. Every word of God is sealed in with a double lock seal. I want you to turn over just for a moment to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we see here that His promises are secured by this double lock security. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 13. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. The promise is sealed by the veracity or the truthfulness of his own person. And then that same word, that same promise, and yes, it was a specific promise given to Abraham, but it can and does apply to every promise, because every promise is sealed and secured then, as verse 17 says, by his oath. And then as verse 18 goes on, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Sealed by his own word. Confirmed by his own oath. Then I can take this promise. And I can claim this promise with great power and with great anticipation, that what God has promised, God will perform. And when God says, I will do a new thing, then we can take this word as truth. God, you've promised it, now perform it. And I trust and pray that you desire to see God performing that new thing in your own heart, in your own life, in our congregation, in the local area. What a promise as we step out into 2015 with this word of God ringing in our ears. I will do a new thing, and I believe it with all of my heart. And I want you, dear child of God, to let that truth sink into your heart and into your mind. God can do it. Even in the midst of great darkness. Even in the midst of great sin. Because remember, when this word was written, the people were in great darkness. Nationally, politically, they were going into captivity. Yet this beam of light shone through to give the people hope. The remnant of God's people had something to cling on to in the midst of their situation, and we do as well as the remnant of God's people today. This is God's promise for us in 2015. Don't doubt it. Rather, determine by prayer to plead it and to prove it in this year ahead. Confidence in his person, confidence in his power, because if anything new is going to happen, it's going to happen by the power of God. It's not going to be worked up by man or invented by man. It's going to be by the power and demonstration of Almighty God. His power has not diminished. God can do things for us that we have not known or experienced before. He is well able. What confidence that ought to provoke within our hearts as we step out into 2015. The confidence it provokes. But I want you to see further with me here the change it predicts. The change it predicts. Contained within these verses, there are some truly powerful and astounding statements as to what God has promised to do in the future. There are some astounding proclamations made by the Lord as to what he is going to do, as to the nature of this new thing. Notice some things about the change, the description of God's new thing. First of all, it would transcend the past. Look at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither that consider the things of old. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. What were those former things? But where are those things of old made mention of? Well, in the same chapter, in the verse number 3, we have the exodus from Egypt of the children of Israel. The end of the verse, I give Egypt for thy ransom. A reference there to the mighty deliverance that God wrought for the Israelites out of their bondage, out of their captivity, out of their slavery. Oh, what a life. What a life under the tyranny of Pharaoh in Egypt. They were made to work long hours. They were made to work in inhospitable conditions. They were made to work some terrible and awful and excruciating working conditions. Yet God brought them out. God turned the heart of the tyrant and thus enabled the people to escape the cruelty they had to endure. What a deliverance that was. Yet God says, I'm going to do something that will transcend that former thing. Then how he powerfully brought them through the Red Sea. Mention is made of that in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty rivers. As they stood at the banks of the sea and the way before them totally unknown, there seemed to be no way. There appeared to be no possibility of getting through. Their life seemed to be at an end, either in the waters of the sea or at the hands of Pharaoh and his armies coming up quickly behind them. Yet God miraculously and God powerfully heaped up the waters of the sea on either side so that the people could pass through. And not one of their lives were lost, yet their enemies were destroyed when the waters fell and they were drowned. The way of deliverance for the people of God was the way of defeat for the enemies of God. And this particular miracle, it stands out as being one of the greatest deliverances and demonstrations of God's power amongst the people of Israel. Even to this day, it's regarded in Jewish traditions as being unparalleled. Yet God says, I will do a new thing. I will do something that will transcend the former thing. How God brought them through their pilgrimage through the wilderness, through all their ups and downs, their trials, their temptations, their failures, their successes. God says, I brought you through them all, but I will do a new thing. On one occasion during one of the battles that the people had to fight with the Amorites, the people were becoming overcome in the battle. The day was failing. The light was growing dim. The sun was setting. But Joshua was determined that the battle was going to be won. And so he cries out in Joshua 10 and 12. He says, sun stand still, moon stand still. In other words, let not the light fade until the victory be secure. And the Lord answered that prayer. And in verse 13 of that same chapter, we read that the sun did stand still, the moon did stay in its place until the people got the victory. What a day of deliverance. And yet the Lord says, I will do a new thing. Something which will transcend the past. As a congregation and as a denomination, we give thanks to God for what he has done for us in the past. The past victories, the past blessings, the past successes. How God has used this church and this denomination in the past, but God comes to us today on the verge of a new year and he says, I will do a new thing. Don't live in the light of the past blessings. Don't live in the shadow of the past victories. Don't diminish the power of God by what he has done in the past. Rather, look to God for new blessings. Look to God for new victories, for greater and mightier things that lie before us in this new year. As a congregation, we must enter this new year a new year of work, a new year of service, with a renewed vigor and a renewed vitality concerning the work of God. Looking to God, expecting God to pour out His blessing upon us, to see this church make an impact on this district and this community, to see the unsaved being brought in, to see the salvation of the lost, the restoration of the backslider, and to see God's people going on with God. And I believe that in my heart and in every heart, God needs to do a new thing. He needs to do a new thing. A new thing in salvation. You're here today without Christ. And you don't know Him as your Savior, you need God's salvation. You need to be saved. Your old life of sin, it needs to be transformed by the new life that's found alone in Jesus Christ. May God do that new thing in salvation for you even this day. A new thing as well in service. We all need to rededicate our lives afresh to the Lord and seek to serve Him more. Perhaps in 2014, your service for God has fallen away. Your faithfulness at the attendance to God's house and the times of prayer is not what it used to be. Well, from this year on, covenant with God that you're going to be found here in God's house as often as you possibly can. A new thing in service, a new thing in supplication. The times of prayer, the public times of prayer, especially the Thursday night prayer meetings. It'd be lovely to see new faces there and to hear new voices pray, especially as we look forward in God's will to our gospel mission. Because the work for the gospel mission will take place in prayer. We all need to be found faithful. Will you come and join with us on a Thursday night and other times as you can as we supplicate the throne of grace? May God set us all a-praying. May God burn within every heart and help us to see the need for prayer, to see how vital the place of corporate and public prayer is. You read through the scriptures and you look into church history. God has worked when the church as a collective body prayed. What was the precursor to Pentecost? It was the public prayer meeting. Do you want to see God at work in this church? Do you want to see God move in your heart and life and get to prayer? Do you want to see the former things being transcended by God's new thing? And get to prayer. If you've grown cold in your Christian life and gone away from God in 2014, then can I say, don't take one more step in 2015 until you get right with God. Until you lay your life on God's altar of service and sacrifice. Until God has molded and melted your heart into the person He wants you to be. God can do a new thing in your life. And what a change. What a change that would make in your life. What a change that would make in your home, in your family, in this church. This new thing, it would transcend the past. It would also transform the present. Verse 19, it says, now it shall spring forth. It speaks of growth. It speaks of a new beginning. And God's desire for your life, dear child of God, is that you would grow spiritually. 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Has that been your experience this past year? And when I speak of growth, I don't mean a head knowledge. I don't mean that you become so puffed up with knowledge, you'll know the answer to everything. No, to love him, to know him is to love him, and to love him is to serve him. And the more we know of him, the more we will love him. The more we see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed again and again in his word, the more we'll fall in love with him. And the more we'll want to get to know him. And on the basis of that, then the more we'll serve him. That's real growth in the Christian life. As a congregation, we desire to see growth. First of all, spiritually. In every heart and in every life, growth as well, numerically. We want to see new families added to this church. We desire to see new faces come and join with us and associate themselves with the work of God here in Sandown. We pray to that end that God will do a new thing, that it will spring forth. And I believe it will. There's growth, but also in verse 19, there's a going forward. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness. Just as he made a way through the sea, he will make a way through the land. The thought is of a continual going forward in the work of God. We need to go forward as a congregation. We need to always go forward, forward in faith, believing God, taking God at his word, forward in fruitfulness, May 2015. Be a fruitful year for us as a congregation here. That souls would be saved. That this church would be the birthplace of many precious souls. God says, I'll do it. Forward in faith, forward in fruitfulness, forward in our families. Can I say to you, never neglect your family. Never neglect spending time with them. That's important. I've come to realize that. Oh, none of us know how our families will end up, but as they grow up, let's be faithful. And bringing them up in the things of God with a love for the house of God, with a love for God's day, and show them that we love them as well by spending time with them. And for those in our families who are not saved, may it be a year of a new thing in their lives, when God would unite family circles in Christ. This change, it would transcend the past, transform the present. But in verse 20, we see it would also thrill the people. The beast, verse 20, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the isles, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. It speaks of a satisfaction. It speaks of a delight, a thrill. And you know, when God does a new thing, it's a thrill to God's people. To see souls being saved, that's a thrill to the people of God. To see the work of God advancing, that's a thrill to the people of God. And the Lord says, I'll do it. I'll do it. The confidence it provokes, the change it predicts. But as we close this morning, I want you to see, finally with me here, the challenge it presents. God says, I will do a new thing. That's his promise. That's the confidence that we have. But notice the challenge which is issued there in verse 26. Verse 26 of Isaiah 43 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. What a challenge. God says, remind me, not that God has forgotten of the promises he has made, no, not at all. But he challenges us as the people of God to remind him of the promises that he has made, to stand on those promises and to see those promises fulfilled and not to let God go until they are fulfilled. God has given me this promise for us as a congregation in 2015. Behold, I will do a new thing. And now he challenges us to claim that promise, to plead that promise together in prayer, to see the new thing, to experience it, to live through this year in God's new thing. To live through this year in days that we've never lived through before. To live through days of blessing. To live through days of revival and days of renewing that haven't been our experience before. Will you rise to this challenge? Will you join with us as we plead and as we desire to see God's new thing done in 2015? But as we close, why does God say, I will do a new thing? Why does he say, I will do a new thing? The end of verse 21 gives us the answer. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. Why is God going to do a new thing? Because God is going to glorify his own name. It's not about a church. It's not about a preacher. It's about the Lord. It's about honoring and glorifying his name. And God will bring glory and honor to his own name through this new thing. And what God is going to do for us in 2015, it will be for God's glory and his glory alone. That through his mighty works, through lives being changed and transformed, through backsliders being brought back to God, through the work of God being advanced, God will glorify and magnify his name. How will this all be done? Well, I tell you now, it will not be done by any new message. The message is still the same. Because the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Still preach about the blood. We'll still exalt our Savior. It's not by new methods, because it's through the preaching of the gospel that the work will go forward. It's not by new means, because it is by praying and the pouring of our hearts out before God for this new thing that the blessing will be prayed down. God's new thing by God's old pathways. Not a contradiction, but rather a confirmation of how God will bring about this new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. This is God's promise. Let's seek God's face for it every day. And if things need to be put right in your life, that which is hindering the blessing of God in your life, put it right. And together as a united band of God's people, because don't allow the devil to come in and destroy the unity which we enjoy. But as a united band of people going forward in 2015, and expectantly going forward into this new year, let's see God at work like never before. I come back to the verse I quoted at the beginning. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There are things we would love to see God do for us as a church and as a congregation. There are people we would love to see saved and changed by the power of God. God says, I'm able to do above all that. What you ask or what you think. And don't lose sight of that truth. Don't let the devil deny the power of God. God says, I will do a new thing. And what God has said, God will do. Behold, I will do a new thing. May that be our experience, our testimony, right at the very commencement of this year. Before even we get to our gospel mission in April, may we see God move and move mightily. And God is able to do it. Will you come and join with us? Will you come and plead down the blessing of God as we seek to go forward, as we seek to see God at work, as we see the outpouring of His Spirit and God doing a new thing in 2015. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, I want to thank Thee today for the promise of Thy word. We thank Thee as well, Lord, for the challenge that it presents to us. Oh God, we pray that You'll help us all to be found faithful, that in this year that lies before us in the will of God, may we be faithful in this house. May we be faithful in our pleading of God's blessing upon the work of God in this church. And oh God, we pray that in 2015, we will see this year as a year of a new thing. A year when people we would never have imagined come into this church come in. A people who have been prayed for so long and for so many years, may we see them being saved. May we see family circles being united in Christ. May we see new faces and new families joining with us. May it be a year of growth spiritually for every child of God. May it be a year of going forward, a year of looking for greater things than what God has done in the past. Lord, we thank Thee today that our God is able to do this. Yes. Our Father, we pray that You'll write Thy word upon our hearts. And Lord, we pray that through it all, and because of it all, we want Thy name to be glorified. Want Thy name to be lifted on high. Hear and answer prayer for us. We pray this in Thy name and for Thine eternal glory. Amen.